So I'm excited to present Rashi Saxena and take it away.
Thank you, everyone. I hope you're doing well. I'm from the Accessibility Lab. We look at enhancing the lives of persons with disabilities and promote the digital rights because everyone should have access to vital applications and digital tools. Without accessibility, there's not really a way we can protect the security of people, especially exposing them to the risks that they have. So we try to ensure that web interfaces are available, they're functional, and they're also compatible with all of the ongoing assistive devices. I will also be showing you a few examples of them to understand it. And this talk is more like talking about why accessibility audits are necessary and should be seen as essential security components in addition to security and usability audits, because there's always an or there's always a lot of interchangeability in our community that people say, hey, I'm doing usability, so usability has a few components of accessibility, so we can ignore accessibility, or don't do accessibility because it has security risks, or don't do usability. But all of them are equally important, and I'll probably, with the limited time I have, touch upon a few basic aspects. So what are some of the benefits of accessibility? And this slide changes based on who we're talking to, of course. We, as a service provider and vendor, we provide accessibility services across the board. We do it specifically with open source tools because open source tools are usually under-resourced and underfunded, but open source tools are free and available for everyone, so they should be ideally more adaptable and accessible to people. They're free, free from the different costs and licensing. So yes, we work a lot with different open source tools. Of course, it helps with social responsibility. As I mentioned, it helps and having a competitive advantage. So if you are accessible in XYZ different languages and you're accessible with different features, 25% of the world suffers from some sort of a disability. It can be hidden or otherwise. 1 in 7 people have some sort of a disability that can be permanent, semi-permanent. It could also happen that you've something you can develop a lot later in life. Of course, it helps with SEO positioning and compatibility for all the private sector companies here. And more importantly, complies with legislation. We are at a time where the EU Disability Act, I mean, which has been there have been certain aspects where public sector has to be compliant, but then this benefit also moves more towards private sector companies and other organizations that would also need to comply. A very important component is, of course, autonomy. A lot of people enjoy the independence of operating on their own, accessing a website to buy food, accessing a website to buy something online, livelihoods. A lot of them enjoy the dignity that they rightly so should. And improving certain aspects of accessibility, or at least talking about it, would go a long way. We also talk about security, ensuring that accessible services online are efficient and also secure, and of course allow secure options for everyday tasks, especially when we live in an anxiety of a lot of cyber scams. I mean, I come from India where we have a lot of cyber scams, a lot of people getting duped for the wrong thing. So there is general apprehension of using online services. So yeah, there should be provisions made without compromising security, which is, of course, a delicate balance. And yeah, essentially, we're looking at increasing the number of users that we have. When we talk about web accessibility, digital accessibility, and yeah, who do you think is more accessible? Do you think websites are more accessible or applications are more accessible? Why are websites more accessible?
I think to avoid installing apps.
Okay. Anyone else?
Because you only have like two vendors almost, so if your app isn't on one of them, like you can't access it, so whereas if I just have a browser, it's
okay. Yeah. Someone, yeah, go ahead.
I'm actually going to say applications, because they have, to some degree, they have to follow the standard libraries that come with the operating system, so tools like screen readers and such are already made to work for this, but there are many ways in which you can design a website that does not work with those tools.
Yeah.
I would actually more argue for websites because of that reason, because you have like structured HTML, which forces developers to structure data, and with applications you often just have a canvas and draw like text into it. But the screen reader doesn't necessarily need to know what if that is text or if this is a picture.
Amazing. The answer is, though, I mean, you can see this is data from late 2023. And these are basically examples of lawsuits that have happened across the different countries because of legislation. And most of them, and yeah, this is data from websites. And you've seen that most people are aspects of just daily life that they would like to cater to. And of course, everything in India, everything has gone technically online and in many other parts of the world. And yeah, these are the different usages. We also talk about the diversity of abilities. A lot of the work that, okay, it's not, there's something.
It is connected.
Is this connected? Is it okay now? Amazing. So there are four branches of accessibility based on the technical standards and audits that inform it. We've had a range of aspects where you have ATAG audits, you have WCAG audits. We do a lot of work with the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines with the latest version of it because it's also baked into legislation, so it's easier. It's an easier use case to convince companies to be more compliant. So we talk about visual. Something happened?
Gone.
Oh, no. I can't see it. I'm sorry, I can't see it, but then I can... Yes, we can. If someone can fix it, that would be great. If someone can just get them and fix it, that would be amazing. No. Sorry about that.
Oh, it's because of the internet. It's because of Fosdam Wi-Fi.
Oh, no.
Let's blame Fosdam Wi-Fi.
Oh, amazing. He knows sign language.
I know Swedish sign language. So.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah, that would be great.
Okay, I'll get back on my hotspot because, yeah, the Fosdem Wi-Fi is not.
I can also share, but my phone's charging.
Okay. Do you want to... Okay, there we go. Okay, it's back on. Don't worry, I charge my company.
No. Okay, wait. Where did it go? Okay, so we talk about why am I not... Okay, I'm having issues accessing my slides now, and I don't know why. Oh, no. Errol, I need help.
What was that?
I'm not able to access my slides. Like, I'm not able to go back and forth. I don't know what it is. I think it's the Wi-Fi. Yeah, it's the Wi-Fi.
Are you using Google Slides?
No, I'm using an online version of Google Slides. I'm sorry.
You might want to hotspot yourself.
Oh, you can just give me my phone. I'm sorry about this. Let me see. If I can. I don't know if I can. Can someone help me down here if that's possible?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not able to access anything online. Can you try hotspot, please? And where can I hotspot? Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so connect, and then... So it's just all spaced out.
Cool.
All lowercase, yeah.
What?
Yeah. But also spaced. Okay, I'll put a space between.
Oh my god, okay. Okay, wait.
They can see it now.
No, but I can't see my slides, so I can't move around.
Okay.
Can I just plug it back again? One second.
Just give us a few minutes, everyone. It wouldn't be a tech conference without a tech issue.
Okay.
Is it okay if I make a comment during this? Because
yeah.
Actually, this is a fantastic example.
Yeah.
The web requires an active internet connection to work in a lot of situations. Mm-hmm. And I realize I don't know how well accessibility tools work with broken connections.
That is definitely a fair observation, I would say, for sure.
Okay. I don't know. One second. I should have done. I didn't know it was so bad.
Okay.
I just, because it was fine. I could go on without the slides, that's also fine.
If that works for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then it's not operating, no?
Yeah.
It was, wasn't it?
It was a second ago. Try it again. Okay.
Okay.
I know. The
okay.
Oh, here we go. Great.
Amazing. So, understanding accessibility is also understanding new user personas. And given that accessibility is an umbrella term for a lot of people with different varied forms of disabilities, it's also necessary to test it with as many users as possible to ensure that you can have a lot of fluke cases where there is a lot of agreement and there's a lot of adherence to all the test cases that have been done and all the success criteria have been fulfilled. But practically, in reality, if users are not able to be more adaptable and use the tool, it's a fail. So it's absolutely necessary to have users with different disabilities in your team, case in point, people here, to ensure that your tools and your applications are accessible. And we also talk about how it's necessary to have foregrounding amongst teams to help people improve their empathy and understand better, because it is more of an empathy exercise where people need to understand that accessibility is often not, it is the ideal way to work on the accessibility with your project, testing it with users, understanding basic things, like, you know, what are the different tools that are there, familiarizing yourself with different assistive technologies that are used, use existing resources. I will also hyperlink the slides with all the guides that are here, but I'm just going to go through some of the commonly used assistive technology devices. Assistive technology for high contrast keyboards, they could be braille friendly. They could be connected to switches and big mouses for people who have disabilities with their hands. And of course, it being more customized to the size so that it can be read better. Screen readers, color enhancement glasses for people who have color blindness. Braille display and switches. Different kinds that are here, and these are typically, of course, attached to laptops and iPads and so on and so forth. But yes, of course, a laptop is ideally better than an application. An application is a bit more nuanced, so that improving accessibility of websites, and or at least having both those options, would be great. Switches, eye tracking devices. This was, of course, inspired by a game. And screen readers. Who here has or is aware or has toyed around with screen readers? Anyone here? Works well? Okay, great. You'll do now. Also, a very important one, using respectful language in your guidelines and guidances of how you go about with things. Okay. And these, of course, we spoke about web content accessibility guidelines. I only have 5 minutes. I'm going to actually rush to some of the slides and talk about some of the aspects. These are the four principles of web content accessibility guidelines. I will go ahead and talk about two or three accessibility advices that you can do. Of course, addressing accessibility as a core principle, which can help you identify and mitigate potential security vulnerabilities. That, of course, reinforces the reliability of the software and protects our human rights. Of course, there are teams that have internal expertise, but self audits is not going to help you mitigate all the biases that you might have. Having an expert third party could help you because you tend to. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to go ahead with a few points. Wayfinding and visibility. The system should always keep users informed about what's going on through appropriate feedback and in reasonable times. Avoid mentioning misleading cues that people could make false assumptions about what your system is doing. And don't overwhelm people with key information that can affect an individual's personal agency to be able to opt out of a data process, especially when it comes to privacy and personal data policies. And these are some of the accessibility aspects that you can do, where you can provide alternative text to images wherever there's possible. Mike gave a great talk about the consistency around it, so that there should be a way where it's harmonized and it's decentralized. Ensuring that there's a correct reading sequence for screen readers, avoiding background for pre-recorded audios, ensuring that the color contrast is effective. Second one is, of course, using human language. We're all human beings. And ensuring that the language and phrases are similar rather than using very system-oriented technical terminologies. Making information appear in a natural and logical order, and this is one of the premises, of course, inclusive design. Of course, using clear language, simplifying complex information, writing elementary reading level, because sometimes it's also a digital literacy exercise. Clean task oriented, ensuring that every word and visual should have a purpose of related of what the tool and what the technology is trying to help accomplish. And this is of course a security feature that should be available to persons with disabilities, where they should have aspects related to time limits, for example, filling out a form, reaching out to service providers that can give them alternative versions so that they don't have to be hurried and rush to be able to fill something out that is urgent. And these are some other accessibility examples that you can have and recommendations. And I think I only have 1 minute left, right?
If you want 5 minutes for questions, then yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and then there's another one. Yeah, using descriptive titles and links. And yeah, I think I am done.
Great.
Happy to take questions. And
we have 5 minutes for questions, so that's plenty of time. So yeah, thank you, Rashi.
Yes.
Yes, for me, a good example of something that we have to avoid to do is MindShareBuild interface. It's very bad because when we unlock the character, you've been on the screen, also the menus and so many things, no possibility to simplify the interface with the thing that we don't need. So I have to move to an honest email. It was good webmail. Green was good webmail, but now it's not anymore the case. So the problem of safety of Google tools and something like that. I prefer, for me, the best interface I have seen is this Collabora online. That is good.
Interesting. Thank you for sharing that.
Do you want to repeat this? Online.
He did mention a tool called Collabora, which is a good web interface for it being more accessible, rather compared to the alternatives of Google products, right? Collabora.
Collabora, yes, because for me it's all ergonomic, so it's easy to find things. You can have the character. There was a demonstration.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, and thus it was an example. It was a good presentation with move and so like that. So I like it. It was the best presentation I have seen. And so
amazing.
The problem of language is not so easy. Spanish is more understandable. A lot of things to do. But so I think some efforts have to do also in Linux for me. It is better LibreOffice than Word, but so there is something, other things to change, also website and so on, because some websites are very complicated to use.
Amazing. Can I take other questions?
Sure, yeah. Does anyone else have any other
questions, comments?
Yeah, comments.
Mm-hmm. There are very few in the open source side. There are a lot of private sector, I would say, auditors. But for example, we're a service provider. We have different testing tool teams across different geographies to help us inform our audits. A lot of our audits are using the success and fail criteria of the latest guidelines. And we actually do recommend having an accessibility statement for proper documentation so that you can ensure what level you are at. There are three levels. There's A, AA. AA is what is usually mandated for a lot of public sector websites across the world. And then, of course, there's AAA, where you can go all out and see what there is. AAA is, of course, with different innovations. The latest guidelines are 2.2 versions. And the W3C website always talks about and discusses a lot of the innovation going there. But I would say a lot of the third-party audits are people who have done accessibility. Like, we have a report with recommendations that developers can use, and we also have if we have access, we also do implementation, because a lot of people just don't have the time.
By implementing these strategies, designers can create environments and products that not only combat validism and autism, but also promote a culture of inclusion and respect for all individuals, regardless of their abilities. This is also from the FOSDEM design chat online.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That is true. We do look at... Okay. Is there any other questions? I know I have another minute or two.
We have like 1 minute left.
Yeah. Anyone else has a question, comment? Yes.
So there are a lot of resources about web accessibility that we have, but I am not just working as a web designer sometimes. I also do industrial design, and I find it very struggling to find a resource on the accessibility on the physical interactions. So do you have any recommendations or resources that I can refer to?
For physical interactions, for like in terms of events, or you're talking about
interacting with for example, how to set up a router, which is what I'm working on, and like simply just plugging in the power and how to make the instructions more accessible and clear for them to complete the, this kind of physical interaction. Do you have any suggestions or resources I can refer to?
I will come back to you on that. You can keep in touch with me, but I would say, Rashi? Go ahead.
My partner works on with people with ALS, so people that have lost like most of their physical like ability to move. I mostly use eye tracking or a single button input. So if for around physical things, I can connect you with them if you're curious about talking to them. But it's really about guardrails around input. So one of the things about using a board to choose the words you want the synthetic voice to say out loud is making sure, I don't think that's the right word, guardrails, but essentially it's like a plastic border around like where you need to press or use, because the ability to is varied, so that anything that helps guide a physical limb or finger or however it is into the correct location is usually what they do for the communication boards.
And of course, there are a lot of other assistive technology devices that would be helpful here.
Okay, we're out of time.
We're out of time? Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.